Good morning and welcome to Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM. And I'm here until the hour of 11 as always. Well, let's just say today, today is the 31st of July. Yeah, today is the 31st of July 2025. And how do I put this? The economy is doing wonderfully. And let me leave it there before my landlord, who I owe 3 months worth of rent, you know, starts calling me and starts asking for a bunch of things. So, this is a comedy show. Why do you sound so down? I mean, well, is Eagle FM mistreating you? Are they not paying you? Nah, they are. They are. Thanks. Now, you know, for asking. Now, let's just, the country of Togo, for those of you that are not familiar with African geography, is one of those countries in the western part of Africa, West Africa, the parts where you find Ghana, Ivory Coast, that part, that's where you find Togo. And Togo is one of those countries that have seen a significant increase in terrorist attacks. And the analyst part of me doesn't exist. So the only part of me that exists every time that I look at these things is the comedian part of me that is just interested in, and also there's a part of me that likes puzzles and patterns. And, sometimes the patterns are there. Sometimes I just like seeing the patterns. They call it, the psychological term for it is confirmation bias, where we sort of like, try to look for patterns into a situation that helps confirm our belief. It's not, and more often the problem with that is that we try to look for patterns that confirm our belief. We don't, look for the facts on the ground to which our belief should conform to, sort of like disapprove, the way that we see things. But, that's the more like a gibberish psychological explanation that I was able to come up with. Now, why am I starting with that direction? Well, it's because I'm one of those very few people on this planet that believe that politicians don't really have power. And I think I have read enough history books that have basically helped cement my point, that point of view, at least for me, when it comes to politics. And the reason why, the reason why I'm saying it that way is because, first of all, someone will have to explain to me, someone will have to show me one political party that offers a product or a service that enables it to make money. Which is why the world over, political parties are known for one thing. Make money via donors. That's how they make most of their money. And this is not just in Africa. This is basically just how political parties operate the world over. And most of these things were adopted from the Western world. So, one of the most heated debate in the U.S. is around, one of those, one organization known as AIPAC, because, AIPAC. It's one of those organizations that, donates to, has a lot of, is basically backed up by a lot of financial muscles, aka financial institutions for, rich individuals. And then, they just take this money and then channel that money to a bunch of politicians who will then end up in Congress, aka the American version of Parliament. And then when they end up there, they hold the, they advocate for the interest of AIPAC. Now, let's just be honest here. Organizations like AIPAC are not really the problem. They are the symptom of the problem. Now, take for example, if Helmut was an American politician, and then his career was basically nasfaffed into Parliament, and then when he gets there, this is a perfect example. Let's look at, let's use NASFAF as an example. I'm not saying that's what NASFAF does. NASFAF funds students. We all know that. But now let's say that Nasfaf funded politicians. And now at this point you'll be asking yourself, why would Nasfaf fund politicians? It's an example, you idiot. Listen. Now, let's say Nasfaf is this organization that is this organization that's dedicated to making your dream, you know, your dream as a politician come through. So if you want to be in parliament, all you just have to do is is be nice to them, complete an application form, show your interest, ask them for funding so that you can go run around the whole country holding your campaigns, and then when you end up in when you win, and they make sure you win. When you win, don't ask me how, because I also have no idea. When you win and find yourself in parliament, then you sort of like scratch their back by making sure that, you make sure to advocate for something that gives, for something that is in line with their interest. I know it's complicated for a reason, so that if you are lazy to think, you don't follow it. But if you are so obsessed with political nitty-gritties and you also don't have a life outside your house, then you don't have a lot of options but to basically dive in head first into these things. And, the labyrinth of it all is very amazing. Now, back to our Nasfaf example. Now, Nasfaf is this organization where if you want to pursue a political career, they can actually help you fund this career. And they can, pay for your political campaigns, for, print your flags and come up with a logo. They will be moving from one radio station to another, giving them all this bunch of money to promote your campaign, blah, 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 and all those things. Now, when you look at it from that way, you begin to understand just how expensive politics is. I don't know who came up with the whole idea of politics without first figuring out the source of revenue that will fund this very thirsty monster, financially thirsty monster. Because politics is expensive. Really expensive. The thing is, a lot of people that are interested in politics don't really have the money to fund the financial demand that comes with a political career. A lot of them don't. So, which is why they rely mostly on donors. More often, these donors come in a form of an organization or a very old money loaded individual. That's where things now begin to go south. At least for the people, not the politicians or the benefactor of the politician. No. The voters, that's when things go very south for you. You know that part of the good book that says, no one can serve two masters? Well, that is actually pretty much accurate. Here's the problem. Back to our Nasfaf example. At this point, if you are saying that, if Nasfaf is an organization that is funding anyone that is interested in in pursuing their political career, they're willing to help them with money to go on to go for a campaign, to market themselves on radio stations, TV stations, influencers, social media platforms, and all these things. If Nasfaf is willing to carry this cost, what's in it for them? If that's the question you're asking yourself, then you're just a few steps away from understanding, who wields the most power in the world of geopolitics. Now, and here's the thing. And one question you'll be asking yourself, and another question. One question is, if they're funding you, what's in it for them? The second question is, Nasfaf, last time I checked, they're just an organization. How do they make their money? Excellent example. How do they make their money? And again, you'll be right. And then at this point, now, if I was the head of Nasfaf, I wish, and Nasfaf was a political organization, that's just helps fund, people that want to pursue their political careers, they also wish at this point because they don't do that. Now, you'll be asking yourself one question. If Nasfaf is giving me money to pursue my political career, how does Nasfaf make their money? Right now, we know that Nasfaf funds students. that can't, you know, that are from mostly disadvantaged, financially disadvantaged backgrounds, in theory. Now, where we are now, at this point, you'll be asking yourself, how does NASFAF make the money that they pay students? You know, they pay for students' tuition fees. The government. Where do the government make get their money? Taxpayers. Where do taxpayers get their money? They have jobs of which they are taxed on. Now, you see, you can trace the money straight to its origin. Then it will enable you to understand just how this organization operates. But for a lot of organizations, that information is very difficult to find. It's very difficult to find, especially on the African continent. That's where the discussion around politics now become very tricky to sort of like follow. You'll just be seeing your leader signing a bunch of agreements somewhere across the, you know, somewhere across the Atlantic Ocean, and you'll be like, really? What are they doing there? How did this agreement even come about? And then you'll only find out 10 years after that the agreement was signed somewhere in the UAE, and the terms of these agreements, of which now you are tied to for the next 100 years, welcome to the world of geopolitics. Now, back to NASFAF as a, you know, political organization. Now, if NASFAF is funding political people that want to pursue their political career, it's only normal for anyone to ask themselves one question. This money that NASFAF is spending on these people that want to, on these people that want to pursue their political careers, how does NASFAF make this money? Let's say they were a lobbying organization, as they're more often referred to in the US, or more like the, for the most part, the Western world. In Africa, we call them bribes. But, call it lobbying and everything will be fine. Now, what happens is, if they were not funded by taxpayers' dollars, it would be very normal for anyone to ask themselves one question. How does this organization make its money? And then you realize that, this organization actually is, makes most of its money from donors, because they don't run a business. They have, they are backed up by a lot of donors. Take, organizations like the World Health Organization, for example. What product does the WEF's sell or service that they offer for them to make money? Not one that I'm aware. Until you realize that 80 to 90% of the multinational corporations are the donors. Those are the donors that they donate millions of dollars per year to the World Health Organization. What's in it for them? You see, once you start understanding that human beings, I don't care what skin color you have, we are all selfish as heck. Anything that we invest in, we want something out of it. I don't care we're just a church. You want to convince us to join you. That's why you are here. Now while we're just here out of the kindness of our hearts, now we're just friends. You're right. Of course you are. Of course you are. You're just friends, huh? No, I was at his house the whole night. We just slept in the same, but nothing happened. Yeah, right. Nothing happened. Well, we look, but we don't judge. I, on the other hand, is, in this seat. Oh boy, do I judge. Now, here's the thing. Follow the money. It's very important to follow the money. And just understand how human beings operate and ask yourself one question. Anyone that's doing something for you, most likely 99.99999999% of the time, and a lot more nines, they want something out of it. Take, for example, for anyone who is at work, including yours truly here, knows very well salary is the only reason why they are doing what they do. Sorry, boss, had to throw that one in. Here's the thing. And if your boss is smart enough, they know that. If your boss doesn't know that, I'm afraid your boss is dumb. Now, the reason why I said sorry, boss, is because I know my boss is well aware of that. Because he's not an idiot. You see, this is why I'm not really, you know, this is why I'm so glad that I don't have sponsors. Because some of the things I say, but look, everyone that shows up to work on a daily basis, everyone that goes, shows up there because they know that, they are offering a service in exchange of a fee. Everyone that shows up at a market to sell something, they know that they are offering a service. They are not doing it for free. There is no such thing as free. So every time that I see the word free, my question is, okay, why? Now, especially in the tech world, this, you know, the word free is more often misinterpreted because a lot of us, have this free to play games, free to install and use apps. There is no such thing as free. Now, there is no such thing as free something. No, we just went on a date. He was such a gentleman. He just treated me so nice. He wants to get laid. You're welcome. No, he doesn't think that way. That one is just... Is he a guy? Yes. Is he straight? Yes. Thanks. That's all I needed. He wants to get laid. No, but we're just friends. Is he a guy? Yes. Is he straight? Yes. He wants to get laid, you idiot. The thing is, this is one thing I like about, you know, life. Life is going to be very easy if you just stop lying to yourself and start facing the reality. Now, it's very difficult to face reality. So that's why we more often lie to ourselves like 99% of the time. I do that a lot. I do that a lot. I, you know, find a hot girl there. I want to ask her for her number and I know that she will shut me down flat. You know, just, you know, then, you know, to sort of like, to sort of like, make myself feel comfortable, I'll be like, nah, she's not that pretty anyway. Not the point. And now sometimes I'll just, just swallow the courage and just walk straight to her and be like, hi, you look very pretty. I didn't mean to intrude, but I'm just here to point out just how beautiful you are, and if I can take you out on a date sometimes. And then she goes, like you with your height? Yeah, not in a million years. Now, I will painfully walk away. Now, this is the beauty of why I think it's, just hear me out, healthy for you to lie to yourself sometimes. Now, after she points out the very obvious height, thing that she finds, unattractive, I will go to my house and start telling myself, I'm tall, dark, and handsome. It turns out if you repeat several times, you begin to believe it. And, it may be a lie, but it's good for your sanity. Very good for your sanity. I'm tall, dark, and handsome. Tall, dark, and handsome. Tall, dark, and handsome. I don't care what the Ministry of Home Affairs ruler is saying, which is, painful enough. It is recorded on my ID, 1.53 meters tall. You guys are mean. Tall, dark, and handsome. Tall, dark, and handsome. Tall, dark, and handsome. Now, the psychology behind repetition is the reason why we speak the languages we do speak. Is the reason why songs have, chorus. After listening to a song 2-3 times, the part that you're most likely going to remember, that's going to be stuck in your head, is the chorus part. Why? It's simple. Repetition is how we learn most of the things. I'm a huge fan of languages. And more often when I try my best to learn some of the foreign languages, I come to understand that, I speak English not because I'm smart. It's because I have repeated it like 1,000 times. So it's stuck in my head. Most of the words I use, I don't know their origin. I don't even understand why those letters are arranged that way. But, I mean, when, you know, when someone asks you to spell the word water, for example, you are going to spell it correctly. If you spell it correctly, W-A-T-E-R. But how do you pronounce it? Water. Why is the R there? You may as well just remove it. But, look, well, we were told, and this is something that's been repeated to us like a thousand times, that when you spell water in the English language, you spell it as W-A, even though it says war, there is no O there, it's W-A. We don't dispute that. We just run around spelling water that way. And then you have words like psychology. It should be psychology, but no. No one spells, you know, no one's pronounced words like psychology with psychology, no? Psychology. Psychology. It starts with an S, except the word is Greek in origin. And as you can imagine, in the Greek language, if the P comes first in a letter, in a word, the P is silent. So then you go with psychology. It's the same with the word, it's the same with the word water that we just used. According to the English language, if the R comes last at the end, you know, comes at the end of the word, the R is silent. Water. No one says water. I know. Now, every language has its own rules, which is why we basically, that dictates why that language is spoken that way. And the most notorious, the most notorious language when it comes to silent letters, it's French, especially the letter T. If it's at the end. Now for the French, if the T is at the end, they don't pronounce it. I know. Un momento. Now, let's drift from my dreamland back to politics. Political parties. A lot, if not all, across the planet, don't have any source of revenue that they get from offering a service or selling a product. Now, here's the problem. Not a problem. Here's more of a structure on how this whole thing works. This is basically how politics work for the most part of the Western world and the countries that are under Western influence, like Namibia. Which is why rich people have a lot of power and influence in the Western political structure, political setup. So, again, people with money, basically the world over, rich people basically run the show in whatever country you go, whether that country has a democracy, a dictatorship, blah, blah, blah. To run an economy, you need money. And people with money are always going to be at the top of the food chain in that, in a system like that. It was the case during medieval times, during ancient times. It has always been the case. People with money are all going to be at the top of the, at the top of everything, running everything, and they are going to influence most of the policies. Unfortunately, that's the reality on the ground. Now, the lie we are told, on the other hand, is everyone is free to make any decision they want to. No. Not even a parent believe that. If, any parent that tells their kids, you are free to do whatever you want in this house, feel at home. We both know the kids are not allowed to set the house on fire. Not because the parents want, the parents don't want to give the kids their freedom to set the house on fire. It's because, well, while it may be fun to see a house on fire, at the end of the day, those kids and their parents are going to be homeless. nothing could come out of setting the house on fire. Therefore, even though parents will tell the, will tell the kids, you are free to do whatever you want in this house, feel at home where your parents will take care of you. If they break a cup, they are yelled at. Why? Are those parents being mean? No. Those are parents that are just telling, telling the kids that, you know what, yes, honey, I know. These are like white parents now, because we know black parents will just smack the daylight out of you, then you'll never do, you think twice before doing the same thing again. Actually, a point of correction, you will never do the same thing again. It's a very African thing to do, we have our own definition of child abuse. You know, what's called in the West as child abuse, here it's called discipline. I know. There are a lot of parents that want to go Western way of parenting. I'm not going that direction. Here's the reason why I don't think when it comes to raising children, our system is dumb. Really dumb. Don't yell at your kids. Look, here's the thing. As long as you are not punching them in a coma, I say yell into their ears. Why? It's because if they just, if they keep doing that damn thing over and over again, they are going to end up in, they are going to end up in jail. And when they end up in jail, guess who the police are going to call to go and bail them out? Me! No! I may as well just yell into them so I don't have to take money out of my pocket to go and bail them out. Look, here's the thing. Police officers, I know, police officers, you guys stay out of this. You are just acting on the laws that, that's coming out of, that's coming from parliament. Just hear me out. If you guys are going to make the laws that makes it, illegal for me to yell at my kid every time they do something stupid, when they turn 18 and they do something illegal and the police shows up and they are arrested and they go to court, I'm going to Parliament and tell them, those laws that you guys were making and told me that I can't yell at my child every time they do stupid things because, well, it's their right. Well, here's the thing. They did something illegal. I really followed your instructions. I did not yell at them. I did not punish them in any way. Here's the thing. They grew up to be a very stubborn idiot. The problem is, now they are in jail and the judge is asking for bail. Do you care to send me an e-wallet? Just like a small 5K. Please, thank you. You are the parent. You have an obligation to basically pay the bail. Hang on a second. You made the rules that made me, erase that moron who is now behind bars. You gave me the rules. I followed the rules. The idiot is behind bars. And now bail is needed. So, hello? Look, if I made the rules, I would be paying the bail. The only thing is, I'm going to use my money to buy my vrupa. Because, I didn't make the rules. Therefore, it's kind of difficult to hold me accountable. So, dear kids, before you start disrespecting your parents because, it's your right. Don't get me wrong. You have rights not to get your teeth punched out. That's just illegal. Don't do that. Please. Come on. At that point, you are not, you are not a parent now. You are M23 or Boko Haram, one of the two. If you are going to run around telling your parents, it's my right, I can do this and that, guess what's going to happen again? If you find yourself in jail, that parent will just show up and say, son, don't get me wrong, I love you so much, but here's the thing. It's my right to take my money out of my bank account to pay for your bail. Now, since it was your right to screw up, to do a bunch of things that landed you in this place, thank you very much. You exercised your right. Now you are paying the consequences of over-exercising your right. Now, the way these things are going to go is, in the very same way that you exercised your right, that ended up with you being in jail, I'm going to exercise my right of not paying your bail. No, at this point, I may as well just be a rapper, the way that I'm rhyming on fire. Now, here's the thing. The way these things are going to go is, you exercised your right, you ended up in jail. I'm going to exercise my right and then end up in a hotel room, ordering room service. You know, I'm going to spoil you, ma'am. You know, small. I'm not going to use, this money. No one puts bail on a budget. At least no one that I know. Have like, you know what? Okay, let's see this month. I have these groceries. Oh, there's this nice jacket that I saw in wool. What that I want to buy. And then I have vacation here. And hang on a second, but bail for the firstborn because you're most likely going to screw up. And then bail for the secondborn. No. Nope. Maybe rich white parents, but both rich and broke black parents will just be like, okay, vacation, groceries, and then beat the daylight out of him. That's, we make sure that if we are going to go to bail, if we are going to get to bail, at least I tried to beat the daylight out of you. Now, by the way, corporal punishment is still illegal. You're supposed to laugh at the jokes and leave it there. Now, breathe and then come back. Remember that, example of Nasraf that I used. I'm still going to sing this song and I will sing it forever and ever and ever. Actually, I'll just sing it until I kick the bucket, then I'll stop singing it. I could sing it in the afterlife, but then none of you will be listening. Plus, I doubt they have Eagle FM in the afterlife. So, moving on. Since money is needed to run anything in the 21st century. Money is needed to run anything in the 21st century. And every time that you hear something being described as it's free, ask yourself one question. Who is paying for it? And what do they want in return? Because more often, they want something in return. More often, like 99.99999999% of the time, they want something in return. So every time that my favorite part about about the world of politics is every time that there is a political party that's telling me, no, we got this amount of money donated to us from this by this institution and that institution, excellent. Now there is nothing, it's not illegal for institutions to donate to political parties. It's just, as a comedian, I find it very fascinating. What do they want? Now, here's how things work, especially the way that's well properly documented. And I like using the Americans as an example because they're very plain about it. That's the direction South Africa is taking, as we saw with their previous, with their previous elections. And we saw, this one thing that I found, found fascinating about the South African elections now. It was plain and clear that there were different institutions that donated. There were some institutions that donated millions of dollars to multiple political parties. You know what that means? Whoever wins, I have a man in parliament who will hold my interest. Call it corruption, but look. Making it illegal is not going to help. You just have to understand how the system works. That's your only way out. Making it illegal is not going to help. Weed is illegal, but it's still out there. Crack is illegal. It's still out there. So making something illegal doesn't work for everything. Nope. It doesn't. It works for some things, but it doesn't work for all things. So, understanding how the system is set up, you'll totally understand because, take for example, if, Helmut started a political party, let's call it, Helmut $1 million per citizen, HMDC, HMDC, Helmut $1 million per citizen, HMDPC, HMDPC, very nice political party. Vote HMDPC. Yeah, you know, one citizen, one farm, if you vote for me. Now, anyway. And, Eagle FM decides to donate money to HMDPC. Is that illegal? No, it's not. But you can bet a bunch of people will be like, okay. Now, let's say, we have an election next year and, Eagle FM donates money to a political party called, HMDPC, run by yours truly, one and only, His Excellency, Igwe, incumbent Prime Minister, His Royal Highness, His Majesty, Helmut Mahongo. Now, what happens is, Helmut, Eagle FM donates, campaign contribution to HMDPC. Now, HMDPC picks their candidate. They pick their candidate who they give basically, you know, a large chunk of the budget, you know, they just parade him across the country using the money HMDPC did not make. Eagle FM donated the money. HMDPC just used this money to, make their candidate known so that they can be voted for. And then this candidate ends up, you know, this candidate ends up in parliament or ends up in the executive office as the president. And then, convenient enough, you see that all the campaigns, all the public relation officers in all ministries and all SOEs and all executive offices, they are all being interviewed on Eagle FM. And all those, every ministry and all the SOEs want to run a campaign, they are, they want to run a campaign, be it about election or, Transnami, SME, all the ministries, every time that they want to market something, they are marketing it strictly on Eagle FM. At this point, everyone will be like, something is not adding up here. Because, first of all, before this election, Eagle FM donated a lot of money to HMDPC. And then, HMDPC won the election. And just convenient enough, everything that's happening in the public sector can be tied to Eagle FM. Those questions are basically the questions that all citizens will ask. What is going on here? Is this business as usual, or is just one of those things you scratch my back, I whip yours type of situation going on, where I will give you this amount of money as a this amount of money to your political party, and then that money you will use it to parade your candidate around the country. But when they win the election, I want to get most of the tenders in the public sector. Now, this is the reason why democracy on paper is perfecto, but democracy in practice is difficult. Really difficult. The only equivalent example will be like, a guy standing in front of a half naked woman. And, we don't think with the head above our shoulders. That's been established every time that happens. Every time we find ourselves in that situation, we're thinking with the wrong head, like a wrong head. I'll give you an example. This head put Father Abraham into trouble. King Solomon into trouble. Simson, strongest man on earth, got into trouble because of that head. King Solomon, the wisest man according to the Christian account of wise men to ever walk this earth, got into trouble because he thought that head have never made a good decision. Now, here's the thing. That's the equivalent of, that's the equivalent of, there's a political equivalent that can be drawn from that. Terrible decision making. Wherever there is money, the decision is made in relation to who is signing the check, not who is putting a cross on a ballot paper. It's called voting. Now, you see, I'm not saying don't go and vote. I'm just saying understand how the system works. Man, English. Laugh at the jokes. You're welcome.
Unlock your future with Goldstone Software Engineering Institute. 2025 intake for June, July is open for certificate and diploma in information technology, software engineering, human resources management, business administration, and various short courses such as AutoCAD, computer literacy skills, A+, and PC technician, etc. Goldstone Software Engineering Institute's courses are fully accredited by NQA and courses are very affordable. Goldstone Software Engineering, equipped with modern facilities and courses are offered by qualified professionals. Funding is available from NSFAF and local banks. For entry requirements and to apply, go to our website www.goldstone.com.na or email admission@goldstone.com.na. For more information, call Anaria at 081-6576-365 or Aaron at 081-6354-851 or 061-234186.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nuneudo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka opone ushendike nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa Ninge kwata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onore tatuimwe bali heavy, nola natu, heavy bali no heavy. Ileko, derewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu matatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Seventeen minutes past the hour of ten. The line is 0832-88401. This is Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM, and I'm only here until the hour of 11. And oh yeah, make I repeat myself. Oh, this is a comedy show. Take any relationship, financial, and political advice on from this show at your own risk. Now, if you take relationship advice and it works, invite me for your wedding. But if you take any relationship advice and you get someone, your wife baptizes you with with cooking oil at 300 degrees, that's like more or less the boiling point of sunflower cooking oil. that's almost three times the boiling point of water. The temperature and pressure differs, and different altitude water boils at a different the water have a different boiling point. But enough nerdish jargon. Now, here's the thing. Now that we have established that politics doesn't really make politics mostly rely on donor funding. Again, I've worked for several organizations that rely on donor funding, but these organizations are not involved in policy making. Donor funding itself, perfecto. Donor funding itself is not a bad idea. But in politics, you will have to be suspicious of everything. Which is why they said, there's something called, revolving door politics. Now, again, this is the reason why there's a very stark contrast in the way that political decisions are made in the Eastern world versus in the Western world. The Eastern world, of course, take out Australia, Japan and South Korea in that one. Because those ones have Singapore, Malaysia, they have a lot of Western influence. But if you look at countries like Russia and China, for example, they have a whole different way of running the countries. And now, anyone that have read the story of the Russian president's rise to power will look at that guy and go, homeboy was just up to something here. Because, after the fall of the Soviet Union, the West had a lot of influence on the country, and a lot of things, as you can imagine, went from being shared with everyone to a lot of it was privatized. And as you can imagine, a lot of people that had money ended up buying up everything. And everything was privatized, and everyone had to pay a lot of money to access this, to access these things. And economic inequality went through the roof, like really through the roof. Billionaires took over. They started buying up everything and privatizing everything. And, if you can't afford it, that's on you. If you can afford it, here's the price. And it's forever increasing. So obviously there are those ones that were very rich. That ended up making a lot of money after the fall of the Soviet Union. And what ends up happening is that the country was basically in disarray, as you'd expect, what happens when a country collapses. It's all chaos. So with a lot of Western influence, obviously. So what ends up happening is that Putin then sees this as this is just not how things should be. I have a brilliant idea. How about I just climb my way into this whole political power structure of my own country, and then change things so that they can work in my own, Putin-ish way. What happened? Well, it's no secret. He was surrounded by a bunch of billionaires. And they basically, they basically in one way or another, directly or indirectly, funded his rise to power. Now, when he got to the level where he was a president, he was like, thank you very much for your funding and everything and blah, blah, blah. Now, from now moving forward, I'm the president. I make the decisions. Now, if you are rich, just go out there and do your economic activities, and please, I'm not going to repeat this again. I'm going to be the political leader. You become the economic leader. You run your stuff. You run the economy. I run the country. We good? Now, of course, as you can imagine, there are a lot. This was not a written law. It was just, let's just say, a very strong recommendation that a lot of people decided not to follow, and they ended up not being alive, some of them. And just gave them one very simple instruction. I'm the president. I'm going to run the country. You are a businessman. You go and do business. Everything political, I run the show here. Now, the thing is, as you can imagine, what's going on in the West would be going on in Russia. I think it's going to be going on in Russia, take for example, if Putin is no longer in the picture, is that, a bunch of guys with a lot of money, fund political campaigns. And then when these candidates of these political parties makes it into office, then those people in parliament now have to deal with, they now have a dilemma where they're like, okay, now who do we serve? Do we serve the interest of the people that voted for us, or the interest of the interest of the campaign, of our campaign contributors? And we know that more often these political parties ends up serving the interests of their campaign contributors, not the people that voted for them. You gotta love politics when you look at it from that twisted angle. But then again, you have to understand that it's politics. It's power. Power is not for nice people, unfortunately. Power is not for nice people. Anyone that have read The Prince knows that. And anyone that have read What's This Animal Farm understands that. Power is not for nice people. So obviously in case of Putin, there are some billionaires, there are some rich guys that thought, you know what, we want to have a we want to have a puppet as a president that we can control with a lot of our money. Not one who is controlling us with all our money and he's just making, you know, telling us what to do. And let's just say it didn't end well. I know. Again, power. Putin's rise to power is one of those things that taught me that power is not for nice people. You can't be nice in the world of power. And this is the same for politics and the corporate world. If you are nice in the corporate world, you are going to be eaten for breakfast. You will have to be savage. That's the corporate world. So one comparison that I have found, a parallel comparison that I found between the political world and the corporate world is that they both require someone to be ruthless in order to thrive. Was that just last week? When one CEO in the US was gunned down, a family, a woman, married, I think, with kids, is a mother, was shot down by a gunman, obviously. It would be weird if it was shot down by a guy wielding a knife. I'm like, what kind of knife was that? But the thing is, this woman was gunned down, and she was a CEO of a company that is buying up a large chunk of American real estate, buying up a lot of homes, privatizing them, and then jacking up the price, and then leading to a lot of people losing their homes. A lot of people are suspecting, and this is one of those things that's still up for debate somewhere there. For the most part, it's still up for debate. What's being debated is that, what motivated this guy to drive, hundreds of kilometers away, because I think drove from a different state. Hundreds of kilometers to go and shoot down a CEO. Why? Now, for those of you that remember last year, a CEO of a medical insurance company was gunned down last year in the US. Why were they gunned down? Most of it is still speculation to this day. But the reason, a lot of people then went on to start speculating that what if one of the reasons why she was shot down is because of the company's notorious denial of insurance claims. So you had an insurance company, the biggest, if not one of the biggest in the US, known for denying insurance companies than they were signing out. They denied, they would find every excuse to deny insurance claims. Just based on technicalities that, according to this agreement that you signed, this is what it says. Now, since you did this, I'm sorry, we can't help you. That means your claim cannot be processed because, it's all null and void. The guarantee because of this clause in this article. Now, the thing is, a lot of people understand technicalities. Some of them don't. And a lot of anyone, we can all get to the point if we are pushed to the if we are pushed too much, can get to the point where we start taking things personal. So you have a CEO of one of the biggest medical insurance companies last year gunned down. And the company was known for denying like 80 to 90% of their insurance claims. And then you have this year another CEO was gunned down, and the company doesn't have a good reputation either. They've been buying up homes, making people homeless, kicking them out of their houses because, well, they just bought the properties, and guess what they would do? After buying them, they are not selling them. They are just putting them up strictly for rent. And they are making a behind load of money out of it. Was that the reason why she was gunned down? We'll never know. But could it have been the contributing factor? Most likely.
To all Eagle FM listeners, do you want to stand a chance to win a voucher of $500 Namibian weekly? Answer this easy question. Please tell us, what are the three colors of the USAVE logo? Please SMS your answer to 081-200-4144 and tune in every Friday between 1:45 and 2:00 to find out if you are the lucky winner. The winner will be announced every Friday live on air between 1:45 and 2:00. Participate weekly to improve your chance. We'll save at USAVE.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back to Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM. And I'm here until the hour of 11. That's in 29 minutes. So, look, my perspective on life is very simple. And you don't have to take it. This is how I look at life. There's a way that things work, and there's a way that we wish things worked. Now, most of the documents that are written, supposedly regulating institutions, are written based on how we wish things worked, not on how things really work. Let me give you an example. Democracy is a government of the people, for the people, by the people. Now, lie! Democracy is a government of the bribers, for the bribers, and the bribers only. You're welcome. In other words, the early days of the end of the COVID-19 lockdowns, when the COVID-19 lockdowns came to an end, the son of the CEO, the chairman of Samsung in South Korea was given a presidential pardon. Why? Because, well, they needed someone to run Samsung Incorporated, or is it Samsung Electronics, which is a parent company of everything that you see written, you know, with the word Samsung on it. You know, from phones to fridges to attack helicopters and tanks. Yeah, they make tanks. Well, it turns out, you know, the best way to make money is to blow stuff up. Next time you want to start a business, you may wanna, you know, be a little violent and you'll make money. Democracy on paper makes a lot of sense. In practice, and this is not because black people are just naturally violent, or white people are just a bunch of idiots. No, human beings. This is nothing to do with race or culture or tribe. It's human nature. whatever position, when you put human beings in a position of power, 99% of the time, they are going to abuse that power if it's not regulated. It's the reason why we came up with the three branches of the government, is because we tried putting power in the hands of one family that kept telling us, well, God, who love all of us equally. And by the way, he doesn't want anything bad to happen to all of us. But the very same God who love all of us equally only gave the power to rule to me and my family, and strictly me and my family. What? Believe me, for 1,000 years, we believed that crap. And people ran around and told everyone that, well, there is this God that created all of us and he loves all of us equal, but the power to rule that he just gave to me and my family. Right. Now, let's look at how you acquired this power that God, you said God gave you. Well, for us to acquire this power, my grandparents, when they attacked the guys that held the power back then, they had to kill everyone, and that's how we acquired the power. That's how royal power was basically acquired. Every time there was a war, if you were part of the royal family, you were cooked. They killed each and every single person they ran into who was from a royal family, because they did not want your quote-unquote bloodline to rise up again and reclaim the throne. So, every time that we look at power and look at it as, you know, as something nice, but if you read history books, power is ruthless. Has always been ruthless. Which is why I don't see myself in any power structure, because it will basically require me to be ruthless. And it's kind of difficult to, you know, to crack jokes and be ruthless all at the same time. Unless you are, unless you are Vlad the Impaler, then you are like, well, he was like, he said, the one that has been, that was quoted saying, no, I wouldn't hurt an animal. I'm more of a people person. Now, that statement, if you have never heard it before, you can easily interpret it to mean, well, he's so kind, he would never hurt an animal. No, actually what he meant was, he doesn't hurt animals. People, on the other hand, he's willing to skin them alive. You know, just for fun. There's a reason why he got the title, The Impaler. You can Google that on your own. So, here's the thing. Again, I think, you are going to live a very happy life if you start looking at the realities of life. I'm going to marry a rich, dark, tall, dark, and handsome guy. Let's face it, the chances of that happening are really, really, really slim. The chances of you ending up with a short comedian, Kavango comedian, broke one from Eagle FM, are really high. The chances of you marrying a tall, dark, and handsome, and rich, with a six-pack. Now, this is one thing that's basically nuts in a way that we look at life, at least most of us. I want a woman who has never... Now, this is my gender now. I want a woman who is a virgin, but very good experience in the bedroom. Are you listening to yourself? She must be a virgin and be good in bed. I have one question. For anyone that you slept with who is good in bed, how do you think they became that good? This is just, how do you think? Now, I have another question. Or just on top of that. One, how do you think they became that good? And two, have you ever heard of a school of sexual intercourse? One that just, you know, teaches you how to do things in the bedroom. There is no such thing. There is no such school. So, if someone showed you a good time in bed, believe it or not, they had time to practice. They had, one or two disappointments, you know, down the line where they were like, hey, boy, that was terrible. I need to work on that. Though, so they kept improving until they got to the level where they are now. Every time that I, I listen to some of this relationship podcast, and I keep hearing people saying, I don't want, this is my gender now. I swear I don't understand. I don't want a woman with a high body count. But man, I want someone who is good in bed. Huh? And then ladies, you're just gonna go away scot-free. No. You are just equally ridiculous at the things that you look for in a guy. I want a man who is rich. Okay? That's reasonable. That's reasonable given the economy. And he must also allow me to go shopping as much as I want. Okay, now we are just beginning to sound ridiculous. And so I want him to be rich so that I can do as much shopping as I want. But, the more shopping I do, the richer he become. Sweetheart, put volume on this one. It's simple economic principle. If you shop more than you invest, that's how you become broke. You're welcome. The more you shop, everything is basically based on a ratio here. Life is basically one ratio, if you ask me. Life is one ratio. So one thing that you have to look at it is that, for you to be rich, you have to shop less and invest more. I know investing may require some degree of shopping, but that's not shopping for consumption. Investing is shopping for business. When I say shopping for the sake of the, of this discussion, I mean shopping for consumption. Most of us, when we say shopping, we are talking about shopping in, we're talking about shopping in reference to consumption. A lot of us will just be like, nah, I want him to be tall, dark, rich, and handsome. And very faithful. Yeah, right. And love me and just me only. And I want him to make a lot of money, and I want him to be, to take me out on dates, and I want him to be at home with me, to spoil me all the time. At this point, I think this is just at the top of my head. I think you need multiple husbands, because if he's busy making money for you to go shopping, I highly doubt he's gonna have time to spoil you 24/7. And when that happens, when he's not there to spoil you, that's when you start hearing things like, they found out she was sleeping with her bodyguard, or they found out he was sleeping with his nanny. Things like that begins to pop up. It's because we're asking a lot from each other, guys. I swear, when it comes to intimate relationship, we're asking a lot from each other. Like, a lot of it is just a flat out, dumb. Like, I just used my first example. You want her to be a virgin who is good in bed. Huh? So, and also, you want her to be good in bed. And, know how to cook. I just threw that one out there. I, just decided to start World War III. So, some of the requirements that we look at in a relationship, just using an intimate relationship as an example, goes to show me just, it's kind of, how to put this? It explains a lot to me why God decided to create human beings, or evolution, go with your subscription of whatever idea you subscribe to. God decided to create human beings, where do I make my home? I mean, I could just put it on the moon, Look, I feel like God decided, you know, created human beings, put us on earth. And, I think he could have picked anywhere to put heaven. And he looked at us and was like, eish, yeah, nah, yeah, ain't no way. Not only am I going to build a place called heaven, but I'm also going to build it to a place where not a single one of them will know where the place is located. Why? It's because we're crazy. We're nuts. All of us. And, oh, we have a caller. Eagle FM, hello? Hello?
Good
morning. How is the morning? I can hear you.
Oh, you can hear me, man.
Loud and clear.
How's the morning?
All good, all good. How's yours?
We thank God.
Please pass the tape.
Yeah, you mentioned something very critical.
Uh-huh.
You say that, but I'm hearing some echo.
I'm not hearing any echo, but hold the line. We have a commercial break coming up.
Yes.
Are you eligible to vote but not yet a registered voter? Your time is now. Electoral Commission of Namibia invites all qualified citizens to take part in the supplementary registration of voters, which takes place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. These include those who turned 18 years after the previous registration of voters, all eligible Namibian citizens who are not yet in possession of a valid voter's card, citizens who have changed residence from one constituency or local authority to a different constituency or local authority. Democracy is not a spectator sport, it's all about taking part. Get involved. Step up for your right. Register to vote.
TK? Hello? Hello?
Yes, Ramit, are you back?
Yes, I'm back.
So what I was saying is that you mentioned something very important.
Okay, which part?
When you say we are not to judge.
Mm-hmm.
You say we are not to judge, isn't it? Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you. Could you perhaps just try calling back?
Yeah, let me call you back.
Okay. Now, where was I? There is a way we look at life, and there's a way we want things to go in life, and there's a way that life will just look at us going like, you have got to be high on weed or something. You know what? I want a house with 13 rooms. Okay? I mean, that's something nice to want. Why? I just want to live comfortable. You need 13 rooms to do that? 13 bedrooms to do that? Yeah, and then you build up. Well, you accomplish that dream, and then you have 24 bedrooms, and you're still like, this is not enough. Hey, it's an addiction at this point. TK?
Hello.
Oh, good morning.
Yes, morning.
How's the morning?
I'm sorry, sir. I just want to ask your frequency here to Shakati.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
I would like to know the frequency for Eagle FM in Oshakati.
Okay, just un momento, si vous plaît. Are you a subscriber of our eVillager newspaper? Because we have it at the bottom of the eVillager newspaper for like frequencies for all the across the country.
Because for now I'm not using the smartphone.
Oh, okay. Oshakati is 96.8.
Oh, 96.8, no?
Yes.
Because that's what I used to put on, but like it doesn't work. Like I don't know what happened.
If it's working, it could be a technical issue on our end. So if you, I would also recommend an alternative, which will be an app, but since we are not using a smartphone, that won't do. But the frequency there is 96.8. So if you are trying that one, it's not working. It's most likely a problem on our end.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, I'll try. Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. And welcome back. And if you are not a subscriber to The E-Villager, just do so by sending the word subscribe via WhatsApp to 0812004144, 0812004144, and you will you will be receiving The E-Villager. That's the soft copy, an electronic version of the an electronic newspaper. Technology. Yeah. Ivana Technology. You'll be receiving that every Monday, Wednesday, and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, as long as you have a decent internet connection. And if you are already a subscriber and you wanna know the frequency of the different frequencies across the country, just scroll all the way to the end of the paper, and you'll find a Namibian map there, and you just have a list of them. You're welcome. Dedication and duty. Now, I wanted to finish with this one. On the 29th, that's on Tuesday. Yeah, well, Tuesday evening or night, I think. An 8.8 magnitude earthquake on a Richter scale. Struck the a place in Russia known as called Kamchatka. Kamchatka, don't ask. It's a very risky thing to do. Now the thing is, everyone is talking about the ripple effect, or more like the tsunamis. Tsunamis are basically a ripple effect. In a pool. If take a pool, for example, if you drop a ball in a pool or drop something in a pool, you'll see that there are waves that will be generated, that will result from that, and they will basically ripple their way to all ends of the pool, as far as they go. Obviously, how far the waves will go depends on how big the object you are going to drop in the pool. If you jump in there, those ripples, because, well, you are just a, well, biggie, and depending on how big the pool is, all these things are factored in. So there are waves that are going to be generated when you disturb a body of water. So that's basically how tsunamis are tsunamis will start. So an earthquake, this is like you shaking a part of your pool. And of course, waves will basically pop. Start from there as their focal point, and then spread across the pool. So that's while everyone is a place like Hawaii, parts of Japan, they were told to sort of like prepare themselves for a tsunami that's most likely as a result of earthquake. And it's one of the violent tremor that we have recorded in the history of earthquakes. Now, here's the thing. In the middle of one of the top six, the top 10 recorded earthquakes in the history of mankind. In Russia, which is where this earthquake took place. And when we talk about Russia, you have to understand that we are talking about 11 time zones. It's a very huge country, actually the biggest. Now, the thing is, there are doctors in Russia that were operating on a patient that said, you know what? Come hell or high waters, we are not stopping the operation. I'm telling you, these guys were operating in the middle of an earthquake. They just held their patient like, you are not dying on us. Talk about customer service. They were like, well, what's that? An earthquake? Nah. Anywhere else, it would have, a lot of people would have run for their lives. But here in Russia, we're used to these things. 8.8 mag. First of all, do you have any idea how much attention you need to pay? Do you have any idea how steady you have to be during surgery? Like, a human body is very delicate. That there's a reason why people like Helmut can't do surgery. You can't do surgery. I mean, you can't go, cutting people open with shaky hands. But these guys were like, nah. Look, when we said we are going to save your life, we meant that. Now, at this point, I have two theories. One, it's either the Russians have customer service out of this world. Because that is customer service out of this world. It was an 8.8. This was in the middle of an 8.8 magnitude earthquake. And someone was like, we are doing this. And there's even a video, I think that came out of the CCTV from that hospital. There's this nurse, I think this was just one of those nurses in attendance that was holding this desk that had all their equipments. And the doctors and everyone basically used their arms to secure the patient on the bed so they don't fall. Theory number one, it's either the Russians have customer service out of this world, or theory number two, whoever they were operating on had a lot of money or a lot of guns or both. Every doctor was like, first of all, you have to understand who we have on this table. If they die, we're cooked. It's either the person they were operating on had a lot of money or a lot of guns or both. Or Russian customer service, top notch. Whichever. Now, if I had a Russian friend, I would have asked them, what really was going on? You can tell us the truth, right? Who were they operating on? Was it one of the kids or, children of Putin's bodyguards or Putin's homies? Look at who we have on the table here. First of all, that's one thing you have to understand. And earthquake. You, hi. Now, my biggest fear is that when I saw that, my biggest fear was that one of the reasons why I didn't want to talk about it yesterday was that my boss will be taking notes. If those guys can do surgery in the middle of an earthquake, what's your excuse for not coming to work? The painful thing is I know he's listening. And the painful thing is I know I'm never going to hear the end of it. The beautiful thing is, I'm allowed to make fun of him. So, we're good. Eagle FM, Kuya More.
Yeah, so maybe I'm dead, man, Helmut.
Okay, now I can hear you.
Oga, for you, maybe Oga, for you, na Bebo. Bebo, na boy, we call Bebo.
Incumbent Prime Minister.
Me na Oga. So, listen.
Yeah.
You have mentioned a lot of things, man. I'm trying to recall only few.
Yeah.
When you were saying that, yes, there is a combination that you mentioned. You as a legal person, this economist, this other one.
Yeah.
A bunch of things. When you start driving your Vruba.
Oh, yeah.
How do you say Vruba?
Oh, yeah, Vrupa.
Vrupa.
Look, if I can't discipline my kids because I'm following your rules, when they get, when they become unruly and they go to jail, I'm asking you for bail.
honestly speaking, I don't know whether nature doesn't also minister to us.
Yeah.
Sometimes you say, we should not judge.
Uh-huh.
But now we are judging on the, because you see, They said you know them by their fruits.
Yeah.
If the actions are contrary to what you have taught them now,
mm-hmm.
which is lawful,
mm-hmm.
and then now somebody deviates from there now. Just enough from the natural law. Maybe that one maybe can be contradictory.
Mm-hmm.
The one that you people make. They may not be inconsistent or, you know, in agreement with that other one, the almighty one.
Yeah.
But now we are judging. We are told this, you see them by their fruit, and we judge them. So, but we are saying we are not the judge.
Look, the rest of you are not allowed to judge. Me, on the other hand, how do I put this? It's in my job description to judge.
Okay, it's true.
Yeah,
my lord, it's true. You are correct. Oh, there's something that you mentioned also,
Which you totally forgot. You can go back to the podcast. Take some notes and then you can bring it up tomorrow.
I think so. That's what I will do.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Quick break, and we sign off on the other side. Mind the gap with Helmut on Eagle FM.
Lipura nenge no wapongwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye eku kurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwala onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu kwanda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi tayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamwiri nawa Ninge pata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onore tatuimwe bali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko derewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back. It's just a minute past the hour of 11, and as for moi, I pack the bus here and pack my bags and just get out of here. And tomorrow is the 1st of August, and we are most likely going to be interrupted by not interruption. We're most likely going to cross over to the Windhoek Magistrate Court. To the Windhoek Magistrate Court, where the NAMCO bail application is expected to continue, because the last time, the last thing the judge said, that was last week, was that it will be continued. And this is something that was also agreed upon by both the prosecution and the defense lawyers, that they are going to continue on the 1st and then on the 4th. And now looking at the, looking at the fact that some new arrests have been made, then we can expect this to go on for, a little longer than, we expect this to whole hearing to go on, because investigations don't take, 5-10 minutes. So, the state will have to investigate, and the investigating officer with the security cluster, especially the police with the ACC. Have to work in collabo with the prosecution in order, they're feeding them information to justify why, to explain to the nation and the judge why the arrests are being made. Why was this person arrested? What are they charged with? And what evidence do you have? So that everything is in line with Article 18 of the Namibian Constitution, and 12, a fair trial. 18 is, proper administration of justice, and a bunch of garbage like that. So, that's for tomorrow. That's for tomorrow. So the bail application is most likely going to continue tomorrow, as per what the judge said when they heard the applications last time, and that was last week. And like I pointed out, with a new arrest being made, this is we should obviously expect this to go on a little longer than expected. But as soon as they just pop up with all this, you know, they start showing up and they start live streaming the whole thing, we will surely bring it to your attention. Albeit, oh, my wife is back, so she'll be here, you know, babysitting. Yay! 3 minutes past the hour of 11, Sizo Masalicho takes over from here. And as for moi, until tomorrow, same time, same place. And of course, we're going to meet again with a home run. And that's at 4:30.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida. Ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukupitira o special ange tashake ngeje pa omarudi dayo loka. Okone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora etatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko berewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu matatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.